Hey, everybody, it's John, and thanks to everybody who helps us out every week by going to patreon.com/stealthisbeer and throwing a couple of bucks our way so that we can mail beers to our guests and have some fun conversations resulting from that. So if you're not already, go check it out. It's patreon.com/stealthisbeer. As Cass says, a little bit goes a long way, and we appreciate the support. Now, here come the sirens.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer. I'm Augie Carton.
I am John Hall.
Hi, John Hall.
You know, show number three from Little Beers. It's the day after Little Beers. And Little Beers is lovely. Little Beers is proper. And if we all just decided after the festival was over to say, you know, this was really nice and we should just maybe get a salad and go to bed rather than cocktails until, I don't know, for me it was midnight. Our accomplice
really?
Today,
abandoned,
who I'm going to let you enjoy.
But wait, when I abandoned you,
yeah,
like I Augie exited at like 9:30 last night.
Yeah,
but you looked to me like you had 4 minutes left in you. If you went another 2.5 hours,
oh yeah,
I imagine you're in a bad, bad way right
I'm
now.
I'm okay. I'm not great.
I mean, you're,
but I'm okay.
I can tell you, my hands feel just like two balloons.
But our accomplice today, who I'm going to let you
introduce. You're going to let me introduce because I can say Swanger better than
yes,
you.
Yes. Yeah.
Hi, Mason from Rent House. How are you, buddy?
Morning, boys. How you guys doing?
Well, so you still have youth on your side, so it looks like you overdid it a little more than us yesterday.
I wasn't in bed at 9:30.
No, I got an email from you at 2:30 this morning.
2:30 this morning?
Did I ask you to bring beers?
Yes.
Sounds like me.
That's amazing. Oh, that's fun.
So, Rent House of Arizona.
All right, so Rent House of Arizona. And I actually want to ask a question we don't usually ask because, so Mason and I were doing a lot of talking shit and drinking lager yesterday.
I talked a little bit of shit.
Under the tents, having a good time.
Yeah.
As is the best. Like, I think Ashley wrote that quote last year. But it's what we do with this thing, right? You stand around, you talk shit, you drink lager. That's why it's the best fest ever. But while you were giving me shit for moving our recording from yesterday to today for a bike ride that never launched.
No, this is preferred 9 a.m. on Monday, 3 days after the fest. That's preferred.
But I guess, so what I wanted to ask John, because this is really interesting to me, I want you to do the beginning of Mason's interview, because there's nobody here that doesn't make a beer you and I don't want to drink. There's nobody here we don't want to talk to. So
right.
It's always interesting to me how you select people. And while we were standing there yesterday, you know, just I was like, what was your process to single out Mason as the person we're going to talk to?
Well,
today?
I'll say that I probably wasn't the person.
Is that right?
Well, Rent House in general.
Yeah, Rent House. I think John reached out to our owner Drew Poole, and Drew historically comes to this festival, and he will is actually right now probably drinking Steins in Germany.
Oh, so did he do the Prague one, or is it a different
no,
one?
No, he's doing a different one with a couple other of our guys who are doing a Europe trip this next week. So he's got an early start on it, and he's drinking Munich beers all day long right now.
That's awesome.
That's my belief.
But Rent House, I got to
people,
go.
How did you pick Rent House?
Because I visited them a couple years ago and really appreciated the approach to the beers that they're doing. And you guys have done cool stuff with like science and scientists and astronomy and have done real.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Science and scientists, both.
Yes.
But more importantly,
astronomy.
I could work with science and scientists with astronomy. I want to know how that got involved.
A lot of beers made of stardust out there.
Wait, so you look young to me, but there was a point, John, you must have been aware of this. Somebody must have like PR'd it to you, but there was a point where people were reaching out actively to all of us that they were going to take yeast on a vomit comet to space and then try to sell it to us and we could make beer with yeast that had been to space. Do you remember that? Like,
is that an Elysian thing or is that
no, it was
but somebody did it. Like, I saw somebody fall for it. But there was like this big push of emails. We're gonna do this. It's gonna be yeast from space and you can make beer with it. I was like, can you give me one reason that would change anything? Like, you know what I mean? Like having been at zero gravity for 2 seconds.
What's your terroir?
Yeah.
Mars, you
know? I'm remembering, if I'm remembering this correctly, it was Ninkasi in Oregon that shot yeast into space with some groups. But then they lost the rocket in the desert. And I think they had to do it twice because they, like when it landed, it didn't land where it was supposed to. And they couldn't find it for a couple of days. And by then, like, the yeast had died.
Yeast is no longer viable.
Yeah, it was no longer viable. So I think they had to do it a second time, and they made it. That might have been, like, 2015, 16, 17, something like that.
All right, so, Mason, as we dig into science and that part of the discussion, which will be fun. So, and I know this is just a dumb East Coast prejudice, but when I think of brewing, just me personally, I think of brewing, I always start with water, right? Like, what is the water there? What's good? It's, you know, I talk about.
And they're doing cool shit with water, too. Yeah. Your reclaimed water is,
When I think of Arizona, having not spent a lot of time in Arizona,
we don't have much. I think that's a good starting point.
So build for me on your water a brew day, and then let's get into John's fascination with science.
Right. So, first off, we don't have a ton in Arizona right off the bat. And as a brewery, we have two locations. And for, you know, consistency reasons and every reason, and it's kind of always been that way at Wren House since the first 10-barrel brewery opened 8 years ago. It's been in an RO system. So we'll build up from scratch.
Okay.
The Phoenix water is, I'm sure.
Your tap water at home?
No. And okay. I'm sure people are brewing with it, and it is so hard. It is unbelievable.
You're doing hoppy shit, do you try to get out of the way of it, or do you still just... feel it's best to strip down and rebuild.
Okay. In Prescott, Prescott has really nice water. So we've had that brewery up there for 4 years. We still have an RO baseline system, but for hoppy beers, to your point, and some English beers in the past, we just use that water straight.
Okay.
No additions, or sometimes maybe a tiny bit of addition on top of it just to get there, but doesn't need it. And I'll actually say uniquely, and I'm a young brewer, so I take any bit of insight that I can get. This last year, Patrick McElhaney of McElhaney Brewing, he came out to Arizona and brewed a beer with us and literally just drove the point home, use this water. Why are the beers in Alpine, California the way that they are? Why are the beers in Sierra Nevada the way that they are? Use the water that's around you. Anybody historically that has ever brewed beer has used the water that's right around.
Right.
And in there in particular, I don't think that he would say that about Phoenix necessarily. But if you're impressed,
guy loves water except for this.
Yeah, well, I mean, and he didn't say that. He might even advocate for it. I don't know. But he was a driver in my head of like, if you want to make beers that don't even need to be representative of your area necessarily, but that have this natural soft feel anyway, if you have great water, just use it. And I think there's a million people who do that.
So my problem with that is,
and while you're asking this question, why don't you give me your first beer under the table and I'll start pouring.
And I won't even know what it is either, right, to be
honest. That'll be fun. We'll totally blind the shit. But anyway, so, first of all, I don't think I've ever disagreed with Patrick. And I love his beers. So
I've disagreed with Patrick.
Really? So I've had so much fun with him the times I've been with him.
No, he's a blast. He's most fun.
Most of our exposure was during that awkward phase of his career. Green Flesh. But anyway, you know, great brewer, totally true. But my problem there is, and I know a lot of people do a lot of different stuff, and it's funny to say this sentence at the Lager British Ale Fest, but, you know, one of the liberties I love being an American brewer is, you know, we're the melting pot. We get to steal from every culture. You know what I mean? I make Japanese lagers. I make British lagers. I make German lagers. I make, you know, all these world things. Some point you need to build to what you're...
You need to have that identity
for,
piece,
you know,
that you might not have in your backyard.
You know,
totally. And that's where we're at. I mean, the majority of our beers, and literally 99% of them, because we don't have carbon filtration either. So going through that process of actually getting that water to the point that we do want it to be, regardless of buildup, if we're just using natural Prescott water, it is sort of a pain. And it requires a lot of time and thought. Sometimes on a production schedule, you don't always have that time to be able to...
Did you
know, manipulate
it
that way?
Are you afraid of your beer?
No.
Okay.
I'm afraid of my beer.
Yeah, this is a good way to start off.
It's husky.
Yeah.
It's sweet. It's pretty. Yeah, that's all right. All right, so let's talk about... So it's the other fun thing is... So among a million other things, Little Beer is set up alphabetically, right? So
W's close to the end. W's close to the end. Yeah.
So when you walked, when you came over to say hi to me yesterday morning.
Oh, I made a walk over. I made a walk over to see you.
I know, but
when
WC,
I
got to
see you, I
got to
see
you. What did you pass on the way?
Yeah.
Because you had the longest walk.
That's true. And it was a nice wander over. That's a great way to phrase that too, because it was a little bit of a meander over. I started with every blank thing in my head at 9 a.m. on Sunday after the festival. But I started with Wheatland Springs Estate Pilsner.
Yeah.
And that was on my mind because you guys had also talked to John from Wheatland Spring
at this fest last year.
Was he one of your panels yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, because I saw the back of his head, and in our group, he's a very clean-cut guy.
Yeah, totally.
So from my table, John had a whole bunch of
Who's this professional that's on this panel?
Who's that clean-cut motherfucker sitting over there? I was like, that's got to be John.
Yeah.
So isn't he great?
Got to chat with him for like a half an hour because what he's doing, and you know, he's literally growing 30 varieties of barley at any given point on his farm. And using them all for beer, and maybe some of them get researched on and stuff and don't go anywhere and maybe never use it again, maybe use it at all, whatever. But that Estate Pilsner is what I drank first because you guys had had him on as in preparation for talking with you. I'd listened to a few episodes and he was just so emphatic about what he's doing. He's a remarkable guy.
Yeah, and
he's also, his brewery starts with the letter W, which was so convenient.
Right.
It's right next to us, so that's nice.
It sounds like I'm seeing everything, so myopically but that's one of the problems with this fest is under my tent is cohesion, beer stop, second whatever.
Yeah, it's easy to stay in your corner over there too. There was reasons for me to wander everywhere.
Barrique was directly across from me, and they have brought a fantastic beer. Their new house Pilsner is delightful, but
nice.
You know what I mean? It was like. Sure, I could wander, get sunburned, and bump into drunk people.
And drink RESB and check pale lager that are very delightful beers.
You weren't there when I got there, but I came over. I had both, and they were both great. It's a fun fest, but that walk.
I'll say the other beer, if I can go down to just even one more on my wander over to Carton, is Holy Mountain. So they're buddies and stuff, and Colin was there all weekend. But they brought their table beer, which is, while little, out of even the category of what a lot of people brought. It's called Vesper. It's this little 3.2% table beer. And I've been drinking that beer for like 6 years. It's when I was living in Seattle a few years ago, they serve it in big 750 Magnum bottles. And it's like a $10 bottle, too. It's fucking gorgeous table beer. So that was my, if someone was coming to visit.
Yeah, that's the one. That's awesome.
Yeah, open the door
and
share that.
I love seeing those guys.
Yeah,
merch, and I don't often comment on this. But their merch is I love
it's
seeing their
it's
t-shirts.
Distinct.
And
yeah,
it drags you in. I love their art. I love it. Yeah, they were fun too. Yeah. But all right. So let's talk about what brings us together on Steelless Beer is a candid conversation of beer. What
it
is not what we thought it would do. What it's doing, not what we did to get it, and how it tastes, not what its value is in trade. To facilitate that, we drink blind out of black glasses. Mason brought this beer, hidden under his shirt, passed it to John, who poured it under the table and immediately put the can on the ground. So even if they caught glimpses of it, I have no fucking idea.
I did not.
Here's the thing. I know when we do these road shows, except for the random bought at the hotel.
This was stolen from a hotel room five minutes ago.
I know that. But
yeah.
So there's a little information in the fest you're at. And who's coming.
Sure, who's here and what they have, yeah.
But in show three, first beer of the morning, I've had two cups of coffee, half a bottle of water. The consistency thing here has been balance, right?
Yep.
And I know that's part of what's going on. I know that's part of who we're having as guests and why we all come here. But when you don't have a whole bunch of booze and flavoring to hide behind, you got to get the four components and the four parts of your tongue, right? And this is another one. So this one, for me, it's definitely malt driven, and it's somewhere in that kind of British ESB flavor profile.
Yeah.
That being said, what I love about what it's doing is every time the malt would get close enough for me to be like, "Oh, that is blah," the yeast comes in and pretties it up a touch. But then the malt, that little bit of hopping, like no one of them gets to identify itself in my head, because every time I get close, it's like, oh, but what about that? And that can't be malt. That's got to be.
Yeah.
What do you get on this?
You're saying ESB. That's not where I'm living with this.
I'm
okay.
Somewhere in that brown.
Yeah.
That it could start off that direction.
Yeah, brownish. Yeah. You know. But that's the thing. I can't identify the yeast, which takes country away from me. I still identify country by yeast profile.
Yes. And this feels English. This feels porter-esque, like a light porter or
My first thought was brown. Porter. Yeah. My first thought was brown, just, you know, little British brown. But the yeast was, you know what I mean? Because in my head, that's still Newburgh.
Yeah.
And that's a little more husky than this.
I get that.
So that's why I went
husky
to.
Husky is the word you keep coming back to. Yeah.
Went to, but do you get it?
And I understand. Okay. But basically, what do you feel on this?
You're pretty blind on this. You know, you know it's one of four. You don't know which.
And now that I've been drinking it, I do know what beer it is. But to that point, it does drink session porter. Mm-hmm. It's got a minimal little roast character. You know that it's this dark thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's pretty. Oh, it's fucking pretty.
I like it. Yeah, this is.
I never would have picked a verse. I always like yellow in the morning and brown in the afternoon. But this feels.
This is a good coffee substitute.
I just had a Holiday Inn cup of coffee, and so this is actually working perfectly.
Yeah. So my cup of coffee so far is that crappy little Cuisinart.
Oh God! In the room.
In the room.
Yeah.
It might have been better than mine.
Yeah, but I'm not up in the world of coffees at the moment. Yeah, I'm definitely. Bottom of the barrel. All right. Anyway, so I'm envisioning that big dimpled mug.
Yeah.
Across the street at Goodwood.
Right.
And just, all right, fine. So let's reveal the beer and we'll get back to discussing how you drink and where you drink.
I believe we're drinking a Goodwood beer. So you're
dark
dimpled
lager.
Mug
this
is
their Schwartz beer.
That's a Schwartz. Lager?
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh.
I think it has a clean fermentation profile. You're right that it has that little bit of yeasty nature.
Yeast to it.
But like, I don't think anything that would resemble necessarily English beer.
That's got to just be the grain making me.
We brew a Schwartz beer as well, and ours tends to go a little bit roastier than this. I think that this kind of goes perfectly the style of what a Schwartz beer might be.
Feels a little chocolatey for Schwartz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when I think Schwartz, I don't think chocolate.
Some of that dark fruit thing too. Yeah. It does have complexity in that
So,
way.
But the dark fruit, so I think that's where I tripped up there was, I think the dark fruit made me think of yeast, and it could just be what the malts are doing there, right? You could have gone 40 love and all of a sudden there's a little.
Right, right.
Oh, fucking Todd, man. It's good beer.
Does he make good beer?
He really fucking does.
He really does.
Really fucking
I couldn't
does.
Remember.
So.
All right, here, sneak me the other can.
So if you're thieves at home, I know a lot of brewers listen to the show. I think the thing I've gotten the most brewers to remark on and talk about while we're here is the amount of us that coincidentally made French lagers this year with Aramis and Schrizzlespalt.
Right. I think some of those beers are some of my favorites.
But
in
the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And Todd's got one, and Finback brought one.
His is beautiful, yeah.
I didn't bring mine, but I made one literally 5 weeks ago.
It's been on my list of things to do.
But I think
it's just a matter
of time. So
there's
a zeitgeist in brewing, right? Like, no matter what we say, somehow we all get to the same point. But the
I'm still stuck on Italian right now, too. Yeah. I love making those beers. So.
The funny part about Italian, though, is because of fucking Justin, when I'm brewing Italian, I'm going as... Like, I keep going more and more German in my Italian recipes,
right?
Because of how that whole discussion
literally
started
just making
for me.
German pills, and then if we have Sophia in the gold box,
more and more German. I won't go anywhere else. I won't stray. I try to, you know, I'm like getting more and more specific for my Italians. But the French, the liberty of and by the way, we did get the answer. The
answer to
the French that Todd brought on, from Green Bench, has corn in it.
Oh.
It's not rice. Okay. It was flaked corn. This is an episode you can't have heard because we recorded it.
That's
here.
Not the French pills that he has on at his brewery right
now. Yeah, Le Pub.
Le Pub.
That's a Green Bench beer?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Is it
No.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Todd has Todd's own French lager on.
Okay.
Todd brought, because you can't bring your own beer on the show, Todd brought Green Bench's Le Pub French
lager
on
as his
on the
guest
show
beer. Yes. I see what you're saying. Okay.
And... You've just done it with us, but you know when you don't know what you're fucking tasting, you reach for things. Mm-hmm. There's a really pretty floweriness to it.
Strissel and Aramis are two of the most beautiful hops in the entire world. There's a brewery in Prescott.
But we're all sleeping on Schizzle Spot.
That's
fucking
it is
good.
Beautiful. There's a brewery in Prescott that makes my favorite Italian pills right now, and I don't think he'd call it a French pill. I think he'd like call it Italian pills. But he won't make the beer if they can't get Aramis.
Really?
Like it's their effectively their flagship beer. They don't can anything. They're just a pub. But he will not make that beer without Aramis. And it does have that distinction.
You can tell him if he's ever in a pinch, call me. I am still the biggest contractor of Aramis in the world.
I will probably actually reach
always
out.
Have it.
Okay. Yeah.
I always have it.
He's always in a bind. So yeah.
It's well, that's probably because of me. And I will let someday. But I fucking love that app. But Strizzle Spelt is the one, you know what I mean? Like so.
And those are two that we don't use. We use a ton of Continental hops. We don't use those two
so
in particular.
You know it's there, but when you're thinking, or at least me, I shouldn't put words in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, so I love Tet. Tet's hands down my favorite of what we would call the nobles. Mm-hmm. You know Sots, you know what it does, you know where it belongs, you reach for Sots. And then, again, when I'm doing my Italians, it's a study in Hallertauer, you know, Magnum, then Middelfeu, then Blanc, blah, 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 blah. But I just feel like somehow it ends up low enough on that list that you don't get there often enough. So when the brewers came up to me like, we want to do French, mm-hmm. I was like, well, obviously throw the Aramis in it.
I like those styles because you get to showcase those hops. Like people, when people drink hoppy beers, they're not drinking Nobles. They're not drinking Strizzle Spelt. Yeah. And if you can, and you don't have to blow it up. You don't have to make it. Sometimes I do. The last collab I did with Todd, I was like, we're going to make a Middelfeu Tet beer. Where everyone knows that Middelfeu and Tet are in that beer, and he to a balanced perspective, he was maybe wouldn't have agreed to design it exactly that way. But those hops are so much fun to drink, and so there are occasions where you know like if we're drinking hoppy beers and we're drinking Citra beers, maybe at Carton Brewing,
well, we're known for our Citra beer.
then I want you to taste these Nobles because you don't always get to taste them in the beers that they are made. You don't taste it in Helles. You don't taste it necessarily in German Pils all the time. So
I agree.
It's fun to make those styles to specifically drink those hops.
For sure. But I'm telling you, so this beer was just gorgeous, and you know we all know how good Green Bench is. But it was just a gorgeous beer. Mm-hmm. Couldn't figure out exactly why it was doing what it was doing. But luckily, because we're all here, I just grabbed Chris when we walked away from the table. I was like, what's in the fucking beer? And he's like, a little bit of flake corn, all Schizzle Spelt.
Interesting.
And I was like, fucking.
They got corn in France. I'm sure they have corn.
Oh, they
in
definitely do. They definitely do. I was there last week and I saw some. Little buds. All right, John Hall, let's talk about beer
two.
Are
you
all
it's
right
in your
with
class.
That?
Yeah.
What do you think?
There's something that I would describe as like waxy to
as
it.
French. I would describe it.
It's French. Oh, but to answer, so getting back to it, Todd
does have that textural.
Todd's French. Todd's French that's next door, the Getting Lost in a Maze or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I had one too.
Has Aramis and Schizzle Spelt.
That checks out. Yeah.
All right. Back to this beer.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No.
I just had an answer.
I think that this beer might have Aramis and Schizzle Spelt in it. it potentially does. But I think that those two hops, like even if you do, you know, dry hop with them, even in a sort of heavy-handed way, they still feel so soft. Whereas some of the other, like if you dry hop with Middelfeu, you're tasting Middelfeu. It actually does pop and punch a little bit. I think the Aramis, which I think we're drinking right now, has that little background.
So
it's still a smaller profile.
I hope it is Aramis because here's the thing: whatever's going on around
it.
Doesn't it feel like
you're drinking almost an STS sort of offshoot?
Kind of, but for me, it's always the Aramis clean. Just Aramis alone to me is always a whole bunch of herbs and a little bit of white pepper. And this, in this construction, has a citrusiness I can't put my finger on, right? So not like, oh, it tastes like oranges. You know what I mean? Not like the sea hops oranges. But I mean, there's something bright and citrusy in this representation. So just go back. Obviously, I do everything in the kitchen, right? But so just think about if you made yourself a pretty chicken paillard with herb de France and white pepper on it, which is always there. But then they put that lemon wedge on it, you know, that's always on the table.
It tastes like the expression of a citrus peel. Exactly.
Perfect. You know what I mean? And that's what this beer is giving me. But your waxy note. Is it just a little higher alcohol than what we've been drinking all weekend? Is it maybe like right around 5.5?
It might be.
Because I don't know the guy at Waxy, but it's definitely rounder than what we've been doing.
A little
all
fuller.
Week.
I've been drinking 4% beers all weekend, so it does feel bigger than It's, I think this is a big beer at 5.5%.
That's what I'm telling you. This feels like a bigger beer to me. I will also say, so here's what I think the biggest pitfall of Little Beer is, since every thief is coming next year.
Yeah.
Be wary of this. Because everything is safe and pleasant and nice, you forget to drink water. Right? Like, there's something about big beers that make you get the glass of water every two or three beers. We're out here like, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. It's 3.5%. It's 4.5%. It's fine. It's mostly water anyway.
Or if you ask for water, the guy next to you will be like, well, it's kind of like water.
Exactly. But you know what I mean? But then you wake up day three and there's no water in your body at all.
No. You're a prune.
You're preaching. Preaching.
Yeah, I think I have wrinkles right now. Like I've been swimming in the ocean all week. All right. So let's get back to what else. So, John, tell me about the astronomy and the science. I guess let's reveal it. This is the one. Yeah. This is No Direction. 5.4%.
Is it that exact beer?
French style Pilsner. So this one is Aramis and Schrizzle. And it's, but you know what's funny? In the little black glass, focusing on it, because I've been drinking this a lot of the weekend, out of the tall Pilsner glass is a good word. Mm-hmm. This glass gives it a lot more room for aroma, right? So thieves were using the plastic road tumbler.
Yeah.
But they are that kind of stemless wine glass shape.
Yeah.
And they say, don't talk to me until I've had my frosé on them. They're beautiful glasses.
Well, they were on sale.
But there's a lot more room for aromatic buildup and nose. So this beer was representing to me last night. The last beer I had last night was this beer. And it was a lot more about its water profile. It was a lot more about, you know, nicely, minerally.
It comes across hoppier in this format for whatever reason. Yeah. Which I appreciate because I want to drink those hops. You know.
Anyway, all right. So let's get back to the science. What were you leading into with the science, scientists, and astronomy?
Well, I mean, that's just one of the things that you guys do. It's cool collaborations.
We do a series of beers. It's an IPA rotating series. We probably do one or two a year, and each one's named after a different planet. And we're in connection. This is really, I believe, a Preston connection. He's our head brewer and owner. He's got some professors at Arizona State, that's the university that's right down the road from us, who are doing cool research astronomically.
Okay.
Arizona, we discovered Jupiter in Flagstaff, and have done a lot of cool research where dark sky.
I was going to say, guys must have great sky, as long as you're outside.
Flagstaff is a dark sky city, so they have limits on lighting and all that sort of thing. And there's a lot of good research done there, Tucson as well. So there's a lot of cool researchers in the area. So we do that series, and they'll come into the tap room and do a talk on whatever planet. You know, if it's Mars, Jupiter, we do them all. and they get to talk about kind of what research is going on there right now. If there's a rover on Mars, we have somebody there who is literally working on that rover specifically, talking about what they're finding on the ground on Mars. So it's not a direct.
It's pretty cool.
It's not a direct. Cool. It's not a direct cool. connection to and beer, and but it's a cool thing to have.
And an off the book pairing, right? People always ask me people just come in and be like, "I've developed a new goat cheese." I'm like, "Yeah. So just take some boat beer. Don't bother me."
But so that's one avenue that we've taken to kind of just continue to think about things. We don't have to think about beer while we're drinking beer, and we have the resources to kind of connect with different people and bring other people into the tap room to, think about space. It's something that you might only do at a planetarium. So come to the tap room and talk about that instead.
So I once named a beer Tharsis.
Tharsis.
Which is the biggest mountain on Mars.
Okay.
And thusly the biggest mountain in our solar system. And I was listening to some dumb podcast, as I will. And the guy starts talking.
I listened to your guys' podcast this
week. No, these other ones. But this one was, I think, Stuff You Should Know or whatever. But they said something that bothered me. They're like, Tharsis, which is the biggest mountain, whatever. And we have places here called things like New Jersey. And I was like, fuck you. I'm taking that word back from you guys.
They don't have Hoboken on Mars, that's for sure.
Right. Nobody's like Bayonne over on Jupiter. Anyway. Fuck this beer. And what's funny is we said it.
Yeah.
It's fucking huge by this weekend standards.
Oh,
5.4.
It feels like a bigger beer, for sure.
But the other cool thing that you guys do, and this kind of goes back to that water conversation earlier, is that project with reclaimed wastewater.
Yeah, we've done that a few times. So it's a beer called Hydro Lager, and I think we've brewed three times of it. And I've been at the brewery for 7 years, wow. and about three and a half brewing for us. And before that, I was in the tasting room and doing other things. But even during that time, probably 6 years ago is my guess, on our first time using reclaimed water, obviously going back to the initial thing that we even started talking about, is Arizona's low on water. And so if there's opportunities, not that we're going to use reclaimed water in every beer, and maybe in 5 years we will, out of necessity. And I think that's the point of this project. There's Arizona company that will, you know, come in with totes and they'll strip everything down. It's effectively, you know, zero water. It's an RO equivalent. We'll build it up just like we do our natural water. But they're literally taking wastewater and bringing it over to the brewery to brew beer with. And if we can brew lager with it in particular, you're drinking that water. But you're drinking that water. We can brew an IPA with it too. We've done that in the past. But if you can, you know, prove to people, here's the cleanest style of beer that you can drink with water that you would otherwise, you know, shake your head at. It's going to be a beautiful beer. So
that's super cool. I know. Oh boy.
Don Tess showing up.
Don Tess with a Gatorade, like a rookie.
Don, jump on it.
Like a rookie. You want to crawl in, John? Say good morning, Don. So Caligione tried to do that, and they never got that plant working, right?
I don't remember that. Yeah.
You've been down to the big.
Yeah.
So the space between the brewery and the packaging at Big Dogfish, I believe they were trying to do that, and somehow they tried to do it so early that water reclamation wasn't where it needed to be yet. And they put a ton of money into it, and I don't think it ever came.
Yeah.
But that is definitely important.
I think people like that are thinking 10 years ahead because I think that
absolutely,
but you guys are actually doing it.
Maybe on a yearly basis at best, but to the point we're showing that we can do it and even to ourselves, like, because down the line we might have to go down weird paths to get water. We've watched Mad Max enough times. But
do you know, so one of the weirdest political things going on in America right now, forget red hat, blue hat and all that bullshit people like to bitch about on Facebook, one of the weirdest political things going on in America right now is the Colorado River and rights to that clean water.
That's our diversion conversation all of the time.
I believe Arizona is the one most fucked in that chain, right?
Because
somehow you guys just never got the rights. Somehow California gets significantly more of that water than you guys.
And I don't know all the intricacies of it. But
if
you
pull it out of line before it gets to the almond farms, you guys are breaking the law.
We're down the line, exactly.
So weird. I'm not going to go into that for you
because I don't know about it.
Living on the side of the Rockies, you know, all the water in America flows either to you guys or to us guys.
But it's all, I think it's also a public perception thing with projects like that. If people can get behind it, and know, even if they drink one pint in their life, it's still in the back of their head of that is the way that we're going to need to use all of our water. I'm going to be drinking that out of the faucet, you know, so I might as well try it in the beer today,
right?
Because I will be drinking this out of the faucet in a decade. So I think it wraps people's heads around, you know, the actual scarcity problem that we're facing. So
that's cool. I wish you'd brought a can, because everybody knows me. I'm not scared.
This last one is a nice little.
I want to.
It's a nice little Mount Hood American Lager too. It's a nice beer.
Mount Hood. Mount Hood.
I like that.
Mount Hood's a whip. What?
Nothing. I'm just giving you.
You're giving me a thumbs up. Yeah. Do I look like I need reassurance? Yes. I believe in you. My head was going down on the mic.
You're speaking so well.
So here's the thing. As an old man, and I know you clearly were at it last night, but I'm always safe on the third day of one of these things because of how much damage I do night one and two. Last night was exactly. Just it went the right way, right? There was a point where I was at a table with him, right at that point where I was either going to switch to cocktails and kill myself or drift out of the bar.
I'm so happy you drifted.
But I'll tell you, so my watch judges my sleep, which we bitch about all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to show you the chart because it's not good TV.
Right.
But it goes, like, I do well. Like, I'm a good sleeper typically, but it goes like, you know, 90s, 90s, 90s. 20, 22, 60 when I'm here, right? It's like, you suck.
I think
sleeping.
I was probably 18, yeah. 14, you're, 12.
You're
last
the
night.
Worst sleeper. You're the worst sleeper. You still suck at sleeping. And it says things like, when I wake up, like, listen to your body, stop. And I'm like, come on, watch. Stop being so judgy.
Well, my night last night was going back to Decatur, which is where the Brick Store pub is.
Oh, God.
And,
did you really?
Yeah, well, and I wanted, there's a music festival there, and the band Dawes is my favorite band in the world.
Okay.
And Neil got us up on the rooftop of the Brick Store pub, and I got to watch my favorite band at sunset on the rooftop of the Brick Store pub. So I had
a
beautiful evening, and then by happenstance stayed out probably too late afterwards.
You know what's funny is I haven't seen Neil since Thursday, and usually
he was around yesterday for a few hours. I missed him.
So
they're such great hosts.
Were you in the basement?
Hanging out there.
Were you in the basement Thursday doing karaoke?
I was in the basement doing karaoke. Yes.
See, that's how blackout I was.
I made the smart decision that night.
No, you didn't.
Well, I missed out.
The highlight of this weekend was karaoke in the basement.
That was a blast. Yeah. Those guys are so excellent at hosting and so seamlessly. It's just hanging out to them.
And Neil is very good at karaoke.
Yes.
Like, we got a lot of brewers.
He sings a Love Shack that even the B-52s don't sing.
He's got a thing. All right, so let's get back to it. What else? What did I touch on?
Are we talking about beer still?
All right.
No, we're always just drinking beer and talking shit. But yeah, we're supposed to be done by now, so we got to wrap this up. But what did I miss that we should have asked of Red House?
I don't know. I mean, you have the new location too, right?
Yeah. So I'll dive into kind of what we're doing. We have three locations right now. We have two breweries. We've opened a brewery in Prescott 4 years ago. That's where a lot of our core production is coming out of, and a lot of one-off.
How big is that brew house?
It's a 30 barrel. We've got about 650 barrels of fermentation capacity, like roughly 8,000 a year.
You said the original was 10. That's where you brew?
No, I brew in Prescott.
Okay.
So I'm doing a lot of our core production, one-off Euro lager, West Coast IPA, hazy IPA, in larger format. And then Phoenix gets to continue to do, which they've done for 8 years now, one-off projects, big barrel age program, stuff like our ESB that maybe we shouldn't make in 30 barrels, given how people drink ESB. we'll brew down there and some one-off lager projects too. But we also do filtration up in Prescott, so it's nice to have that for a lot of reasons. But one's, you know, package stability and those Euro lagers. So that's what we're doing up there. And then we opened a new tap room in Ahwatukee, which is in the East Valley of Arizona, of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a restaurant attached to it. And so that's been doing well for about 9 months. And then we have another project in the works that's probably going to open about maybe 9 months from now in more like North Phoenix area. And that'll be sort of an English-themed thing where we'll dive into more cask beer projects and continue to fill our standard draft lines.
Why not sell six casks and fucking New
Well,
Jersey?
I don't know that we can sell six casks, but we're going to, you know, continue to just kind of put beer in front of people. You know, put beer in front of people. If we can put reclaimed water in front of people, we can put cask beer in front of people. We can put our hazy IPA in front of people.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, Mason, I think you rallied to the cause very well, considering what you've been through.
I'm proud of me.
Thanks for coming out.
We're proud of you too.
I really feel like you nailed it, buddy.
Thank you for having us on, truly. And like, I know Drew would love to be here, and
we'll get him. We're not going anywhere.
But
this is what John and I do.
But thanks for reaching out to the brewery, because we really appreciate being at this festival. Oh, we listen to you guys talk about beer with everybody. So
like I said, I love nothing more than drinking lager and talking shit. And yesterday was a ball hanging out.
It's a big day of that. Yeah.
I can't fucking believe you were still running at 2:30. All right, y'all. John Hall. We're all your stuff is, right?
Yeah.
And your socials are just Red House?
I think Red House Brewing maybe on Instagram. Our website's redhousebrewing.com, Facebook, and our Twitter is not used.
Yeah, nobody uses Twitter anymore.
But yeah, so those three locations, if you're in Arizona, drop by.
It's worth it.
We hope that you do. Awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, John, tell them how to give us 5 stars on Apple. Tell them how to.
You go to Apple and you give us five stars.
Tickle
and
the algorithm.
No,
they
got
to
yeah,
write words too.
Go
write
to.
John Hall's a pretty motherfucker. Otherwise,
please do that. And then write us letters at stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com and go to patreon.com/stealthisbeer to help out the show and to keep us going.
All right, y'all. Get at us. Thanks.